I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 1 John 4, verses 13 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is also, are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We ask that it might deepen our faith, comfort us, challenge us, so that we may grow in our love for you, our love for each other, and our confidence in our position before you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So in our series, we've noted several times along the way that one of John's major themes is to encourage you, if you are a follower of Christ, that you can have assurance of your salvation, that you can have that peace of knowing that you're right before God. It's not something that you obtain through experiments in a laboratory. It's not something that you obtain by discovering and analyzing God through sensory data. John is very upfront and has said at least twice now in his letter, God is a spirit. No one has seen God. We don't see him as a means of giving us confidence and knowing that we abide in him. But there are objective ways that we can turn to receive a confidence and knowledge that we abide in him and he in us. And in our passage this morning, I think John gives us five pieces of evidence that lead to our confidence in Christ. He begins, starts out by saying, by this we know. That's what he's interested in. How do we know that we are in God and God is in us? And the first piece of evidence he gives is because he has given us of his Spirit. Point number one, how do we have confidence that we belong to God and that God is in us? Number one, he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. When we're born again, when you repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ in faith, what has instantly happened to you is the Holy Spirit has taken up residence within you. It is a supernatural miracle. In fact, this is described so beautifully in the book of Acts. If you want to turn there just for a moment, in Acts chapter 2, where Peter is delivering the very first Christian sermon on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the people asked, what shall we do? In verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that is promised to every believer who repents and puts their faith in Jesus Christ. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The greatest gift of Jesus Christ to his church is the Holy Spirit, who he sends to us to dwell in us and to give us all the gifts and to give us all the power and to give us all the abilities that we need to begin to live lives that look more and more Christ-like. It gives us all the ability we need to love other people. And as we open every area of our lives to the dynamic influence of the Holy Spirit, primarily through the Word of God, our lives change. And we increase in our assurance. And we increase in our peace that God is real and He is truly abiding within us. A second piece of evidence that the Apostle John gives, that we may know we abide in Him and He is in us, is the apostolic testimony. Verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. The Holy Spirit, when He says we, He's talking about the apostles. The Holy Spirit empowered the apostles. The Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to be eyewitnesses to the life, ministry, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had a unique responsibility. They had a unique office. What made an apostle an apostle? Well, it was someone who was directly commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So it's a unique office that does not exist anymore. We could refer to the office of apostle with a small a in a slightly different way. So sometimes, you know, great preachers of the 19th century, they might be referred to as an apostle, the apostle to the south. That's a small a apostle. What John is talking about here is the office of a capital A apostle, someone who was directly commissioned by Jesus Christ. That would be the original 11, that's minus Judas. And then later, Matthias, James, the Lord's brother, and Paul were added to that class by themselves. But it's those 13 who actually saw these events by the empowering work of the Holy Spirit carrying them along. They wrote down sacred scripture testifying to these events. And now their testimony comes to us as a source of confidence. So when he says in verse 14, we know that we abide in Him and He in us because we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. He's referring to apostolic testimony as a source of critical evidence. Let me give a third point that John refers to as a piece of evidence that we can know we are in Him. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Your personal acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God, your testimony to belief in Jesus Christ as he is presented in the Gospels is an assurance that you are in Christ and he is in you. Only by faith can you make a genuine profession of faith. Only by faith can you stand up Sunday after Sunday and recite the content of the apostolic testimony found in things like the Apostles' Creed and find a source of assurance by doing that? I don't know about you, but every Sunday when we confess our faith and I look out and see 200 plus faces confessing it, meaning it, stating what the Bible has to say about Jesus, I come off my feet. My toes start curling. This is encouraging. To see people repeatedly saying, this is what we've received from the apostles, and we acknowledge it to be true. We confess this. A doctrinal confession that we believe from the heart, and we're not afraid to stand up before the world and say, this is what I believe, what the Bible teaches about Jesus. And I believe it with the saints of all ages, and I believe it from the bottom of my heart and with a clear mind. John says, when you do that, you will find it to be a source of assurance. Fourth thing. So you have the Holy Spirit. You have the apostolic testimony. You have our own personal confession that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me give you a fourth point that I think John touches on here, that we may know that we abide in him and he abides in us. It's a growing confidence in God's love. Look at verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected within us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. It's great to have theological knowledge. It's great to have the apostolic testimony. It's essential. It's great to confess those things week after week and say, I believe it from my heart. I believe it with a clear mind. But John's going a step further at this point, and he's saying those beliefs for the true Christian, over time, as the years go by, and you continue to walk with Jesus and walk in his word and go through the process of sanctification, your life experience is going to be deepened by an increased perception and an increased appreciation for the abiding love of God that he has for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this week. It's kind of similar to a man and a woman getting married. You know, I remember back when I first met my wife and we fell in love and I proposed to her and we stood up and we took vows for better or worse, sickness and health, richer or poor. You mean all those things, right? And you assent to all those things and you say, I believe these things and I'm committing to these things. But it's not until you have gotten some years behind you and some decades roll along and you begin to see what it really means to live those things out, to really experience those things in the human relationship of marriage. When you get to that point where you can go for periods of time and you don't even have to talk to each other because you know what each other's thinking, and you have a deeper appreciation for the love that you committed to on the front end, but as time has gone by, it has become deeper and richer and much more experiential. And God, John's saying, I think, the same sort of thing. Our love relationship with God, God who is love, is one that will grow deeper and richer as the years go by. Look at verse 16. So we have come to know. That's something that's taking place over time, taking place as you walk with the Lord. We have come to know. We are coming to know. And believe the love that God has for us. So there's a sense in which our assurance of salvation comes through that almost intangible experience of walking with the Lord over a long period of time. And I love the way he describes this too, that as we walk with the Creator of the universe, we don't need to fear. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Now, he's not talking about the holy reverential fear, which we're always to have for God. But he's saying if you're walking with God in Christ, you don't have to fear punishment. Do you know how many oppressive religions there are in this world? Even within Christianity, the legalism is an ugly, ugly thing. And the idea that so many people grow up under thinking that you have to constantly fear the God of the universe, that God is just this monster with a stick just waiting to pop you anytime you get out of line, John says, don't think like that. You've got to know that God loves you. And one of the most amazing things about being a Christian, one of the most amazing things about being in Christ, is you don't have to fear God. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I know some people have a hard time with that. Maybe not just because of the religious experience they had growing up, but maybe because of the relationship you had with your father growing up. I have had people over the years tell me that it's hard for them to relate to God with the concept of father because they had an absent father or they had an abusive father. I get that. But let me suggest to you this. When the Bible offers to us the image of God as father, nowhere does it say our earthly fathers are reflections of our heavenly father. I have a great father, godly father. He's not what I would say a perfect replica of God. That's a false expectation, nor am I, nor is anyone here. They're not, our earthly fathers are not reflections of our heavenly father. Our heavenly father is the perfection of our earthly father. So what I would say to somebody who's struggling with a poor relationship with their father in terms of how they relate to God, I would say, look, everything that man wasn't, God the Father is. He's the perfection of our earthly fathers. And he tells us that he loves us. And he tells us that we don't have to fear him if we are in Christ. If you look back at chapter 3, of 1 John, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. This is what John wants you to understand. See or behold what kind of love. Remember, that's that, what kind of strange planet is this from? What kind of foreigner is this? What in the world? That's what John is saying. What kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him like he is. You can have all the confidence in Jesus. You don't have to be afraid of your heavenly Father because he sent his Son to shed his blood for your forgiveness, that you can call God Father and know with that surety and confidence that the apostle wants you to have that he loves you. He loves you. I love the Amplified New Testament translation of verse 18. So in the ESV, it's, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Let me share the Amplified version with you. The perfect love of God in Christ turns fear out and expels every kind of terror. You ever suffer from fear, terror? Turn to God in Christ. He'll help you with that. He'll cast it out. And he'll welcome you with open arms as his child. When you're in Christ, you are his. And he has loved you with an everlasting love that will never let you go. It will never let you down. It will never forsake you. It's with you for eternity if you are in Christ. John says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. We have received the Holy Spirit. We have the apostolic testimony. We have personally confessed these things to be true. We have a growing confidence in the experience of God's love as the years go by. Let me give you a fifth piece of evidence that I think the apostle offers to us this morning. And this brings us back full circle to a very important theme in the Epistle of John. We can have confidence that we are in Christ if we love our brothers. takes us all the way back to verse 7. That's what opens this section. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And then in verse 20 of our passage this morning, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Hard to get more straightforward than that, right? For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. When God's love begins to fill our lives, when God's light begins to fill our lives, when God's Holy Spirit begins to fill our lives, because he is love, we as his children will reflect his love. Just like water flows from a spring, just like light radiates from the sun, if we are the children of God, the God who is love, his love is going to fill our hearts, and it's just going to radiate out toward other people. It's maybe one of the easiest things in the world to stand up and make a profession of faith and say, yes, I believe this. But where the rubber hits the road is in your day-to-day relationships with other sinners. And John flat out says, if you make a verbal profession of faith to Christianity, but at the same time, you don't love your brother and love your sister, it's a lie. It's a lie. But the flip side of that is, if you are loving your brother and sister, and not just in words, but in deeds of love, deeds of sacrifice towards other people, deeds which reach out and help those in need, John says that's a wonderful piece of evidence, a wonderful assurance, a wonderful way to know that you abide in him and he abides in you. John holds out these wonderful grounds of assurance for salvation. By God's grace, let's take them to heart and be encouraged. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Father, we ask that you would deepen our faith by the power of your Spirit, that you would challenge us, and that by your grace we may grow in our love for you and our love for one another. We pray these things with confidence in Jesus' holy name. Amen.